Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Hello, my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm good. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening, as always. You know, and as you all know, the big news is the LeBron James officially signing, you know, with the Los Angeles Lakers, as I predicted last week episode, as you all know. So we're going to lead off with that. We're also going to talk about DeMarcus Cousins signing with the Warriors, and Warriors literally having an all-star team. We'll get into that. You know, we'll talk about the latest with the Yankees, you know, the Mets, the Red Sox, and a little WWE news, and maybe a little bit more. So, you know, sit back, relax, and thanks again for enjoying the show. But with that, let's just dive into the big elephant in the room, the sports world, and that is LeBron James taking his talents to Los Angeles with the Lakers. And, you know, like I was saying last week, you know, I could see, you know, him going to Houston or 76ers or Boston, but what team I really felt he was going to go to was Los Angeles with the Lakers. And, you know, of course, you know, my reasonings was, you know, LeBron, you know, he's going to a legendary team, which is the Lakers. Sure, the Lakers are in a tough time, but, you know, LeBron James, man, he's, you know, he instantly turns any team to a championship caliber team. And, you know, that's what you know, the Lakers have with LeBron James right now. You know, he has that draw, you know, that ability to draw, you know, any talent, you know, to whatever team he goes to. And, you know, I think that's definitely going to be the case with Los Angeles. He got, you know, Rondo. I mean, they could have got Cousins, who's arguably, you know, the best center in the game right now. But they turned him down, and as a result, you know, he signs with the Warriors. And with that domino effect, the Warriors arguably has one of the best pound-for-pound, you know, lineup in NBA history. You know, the last time you've had a lineup like this robust like this, you know, with the exception with the Warrior team, these recent Warrior teams, you got to go back to the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, the Super Lakers, who, you know, they didn't win the title, but they had that star power of future Hall of Famers with Shaq, Kobe, Karl Malone, Gary Payton. But they had that. This team has the, you know, has the potential to surpass that team, you know, with all these all-stars. You know, you got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, now Cousins. You know, there's a powerful lineup right here, and of course Durant, the reigning NBA MVP and NBA Finals MVP. So I mean, this is gonna be as it's been for the past 5 years or so, at least 5 years. It's a two team. NBA race, but now, with LeBron going to LA, now the West, the formidable West is even stronger than ever before, because now you got arguably the top five, top six players are all playing in the Western Conference, and this leaves the Eastern Conference wide open for the, you know, the Celtics and the 76ers to battle it out. So what's your thoughts on the domino effect of this week in the NBA?
Well, I thought LeBron, I didn't think it was a good decision before he signed for him to go to LA because of the fact that it's going to be the West. You're going to have to compete with the Warriors to get out of the finals. It's much easier to stay in the Eastern Conference that we could continue going to the finals every year and have a chance to win a championship. So I thought that was the reason that he should have stayed, but, him signing wasn't that much of a shock. I mean, I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked, because there were talks, all throughout the last several weeks he might be going to L.A., especially since he has houses there and, he wants to focus more on his entertainment career in L.A. So it wasn't so much of a – I mean, I wasn't shocked that much, but, I thought he should have stayed in the Eastern Conference. I mean, he could have gone to Sixers or Boston, had a greater chance of going to the Eastern – to the NBA Finals. But now, especially with Golden State now signing DeMarcus Cousins, I mean, that team could go 82-0 with all the all-stars that they have. So now it's going to be tough for him to compete. I mean, Lakers – I know LeBron makes every team that he goes to good, but – right now, the Lakers, they are a championship squad. I mean, they have good players. They got Rondo. They got Lance Stevenson.
Right.
McGee, but, I mean, you don't really have – I mean, it's pretty much like Cavaliers 2.0, from this past season. So he's going to need another guy or two to help him because this team is not going to compete with Warriors. They might not even be able to compete with Houston. So
yeah,
LeBron's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why the rumors of, the Lakers are involved with either getting Kawhi Leonard or Damian Lillard, from Portland. Those are the rumors that have been heating up lately. You know what I'm saying? And who knows, maybe in a crazy world, with Melo possibly getting bought out, maybe he could, if he does get bought out, which that's the rumor, because apparently thanks to the Knicks and Phil Jackson, the Thunder has to pay him like $27 million, the Thunder has to pay him $70 million, $27 million contract, but they're going to try to work out a buyout, which would make him a free agent. And, I wouldn't be surprised, he signed a veteran contract to sign with the, with the Lakers or any of these contending teams,
yeah.
Even though, Melo, he had a horrible season, not being, this is the first year that, he basically wasn't the focal point. And, as a result, he had his worst year of his career. And he's going to try to rebound from that.
Yeah, definitely. I could see him. I mean, he's good friends with LeBron, so I could see him, Melo, play with LeBron. Possible.
But I definitely agree with you with that, that the Warriors are still head and shoulders the best team in the league, I mean, it and that was before they signed Cousins. So, Lakers, I mean, if these rumored moves come through, Lakers will, definitely be there to, challenge. Be more of a challenge to the Warriors, but yeah, this is definitely the Warriors' title until somebody overthrows them. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, because right now they're not a team that could contend for a championship, so they're going to need the additional pieces from what they have right now.
What do you think the Lakers should do other than the aforementioned rumors?
Try to get Kawhi, try to trade for him somehow. Maybe try to trade for Lillard, if they can do that. Or try to trade for Melo, If they can get all three, then, hey, they're going to have a great chance next year.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, yeah, Melo, he's most likely going to get bought out. And, he's always had dreams of playing with LeBron, Even though he did turn down a trade rumor for him to get traded to the from the Knicks to Cavaliers, but, and instead he demanded to get traded to Rockets, as the rumor
right.
was, but, obviously he didn't get that, and instead he got traded to the Thunder for Enes Kanter, who ironically opted in to the Knicks contract the same, if I'm remembering right, the same, what, the same day or the day after? No, actually, I think it was maybe 2 days before LeBron opted in. And, of course, you know, LeBron had a minor Twitter beef with Cantor, you know, this year. But now, what's your thoughts of that dynamic of another LeBron, you know, nemesis in Lance Stevens joining forces with him?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be – well, Lance Stevenson was like LeBron's greatest nemesis on the court, you know, with his antics. You know, if you go to YouTube and watch all his antics against LeBron, it's hilarious. But
blowing stuff in his ears, like kind of remind me of Robin Hood, you know, that Kevin Costner movie?
Yeah.
Where Maid Marian was blowing his ears while he was trying to shoot the bow and arrow.
Exactly, blowing his ear, flopping, getting foul calls on LeBron. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that he's done, you know, to get into LeBron's head, you know, over the years. But yeah, that's gonna be interesting, you know, to see him now play with LeBron. You know.
And here's the funny thing: all those tactics really didn't work because you know LeBron advanced to eight straight, NBA Finals appearances, and then of course had the NBA titles to show for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it didn't really work out.
Yep.
So in actuality, LeBron was his nemesis.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a point there.
Because he was just a pest trying to bug him, but now he
never worked.
And it didn't work. And now he's joining forces. You know the old saying: if you can't beat him, join him. Just like Durant did with the Warriors a few years ago. But, you know, of course, with Durant, it worked out because Durant had his best years of his career back-to-back. And he has two titles to show for it. So who do you think is going to be who's going to come out of the East?
Wow. Right now, I mean, Boston would be the leading contender since, you know, they went to Eastern Conference last year, almost made their finals. So I'd put them as number one, especially since they're going to have Kyrie and what's the other guy? I forget his name. What's his name again?
Hayward?
Hayward, yeah. They're going to have him back. So they're going to be a good team. And then Sixers are right there also. You know, they got a young squad with Simmons and Embiid. So they'll be good as well. But right now I put Celtics as a favorite.
It, man, you're reading my mind. I think it's definitely going to be Celtics versus 76ers in the final. Yeah. And Boston, you know, when you think about Boston and Philadelphia, two teams that hate New York arguably more than any team in the world.
Yeah.
And, I think they'll definitely, you know, I think Celtics will edge out the 76ers, you know, to go to the finals and lose to the Warriors.
Yeah, definitely.
But, we'll see what happens. We'll see what major moves will happen. Oh, on the Knicks side, and, you know, they signed that Mario guy from – I forgot how you pronounce his name. It was with an H. Excuse me. He was one of the picks. He was in the draft with Porzingis a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, right.
But, you know, obviously they drafted the Knicks drafted Porzingis, but now they signed him, and he grew up a Knicks fan. So, I mean, you know, his dream came true. So, you know, he had – repeat that?
Mario Hezonja, that's the name.
Right, right. Yeah, his dream finally came true to be a Knick. So, you know, I think he's going to have a good year. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star by any stretch of the imagination, but – I think, you know, playing for the team he rooted for, you know, is going to – and not to mention Fitzdale, you know, he has a lot of faith in these young guys. And, you know, nobody on the roster has a set – you know, has a, you know, secure spot on, you know, in the lineup. You know, everybody got to work for it. And then, you know, of course, when Porzingis comes back, they might arguably have one of the tallest, you know, lineups in the game, you know, with Porzingis – possibly playing at the three. You know, you got Cantor, center. You got Knox, the rookie, who he dazzled everybody in the first game of Summer League with 22 points, even though obviously it's Summer League. It's like comparing it to spring training, you know.
Yeah.
Like ball. But, you know, he made a nice little appearance, you know, in a minor league game. So he's showing his potential. Not to mention the young guy, Knox, he has a 7-foot wingspan. So, you know, he should improve on the defensive end with that.
Yeah.
And the guy, the X factor for the Knicks is Nil Aquino. And Fizdale has been, basically preaching to him to be, you know, more aggressive on the offensive end. Because Nil Aquino, as we all know, he's a pass-first point guard. He just literally passed the ball, you know. He was too timid to score, you know. So I definitely think this is going to be the watershed year for Porzingis, where he puts all his talent together, you know, and surprise some people. And, you know, maybe next year he'll be all-star once he gets this sophomore jinx out of the way and actually – have a good year, you know. We'll see what happens.
Porzingis or Nil Aquino?
Nil Aquino, I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Did I say Porzingis?
Yeah, I thought you were talking to me.
My bad. But, yeah, Nil Aquino, you know, I think he's going to have a good year, you know. I don't know if it's going to be all-star. I think next not this coming year, but the next year, when they hopefully will sign, Kyrie Irving. You know, I think Nil Aquino will finally figure it out, have an all-star year.
Yeah, well, I mean, we still have Trey Burke as point guard. I think right now I'll start Trey Burke ahead of Nil Aquino. I like Trey Burke's offensive game, you know, better than Nil Aquino. So
yeah,
I'll start him going into the season.
Yeah, I would too as well. I would put Burke at the point and have Nil Aquino be a two-guard. And then, you know, he could, you know, develop his passing skills and try to get more of a killer instinct on the offensive end. Take the pressure off him, you know, being a point guard. Because, you know, he showed he has skills to be a point guard. It's just his offense that leaves a lot to be desired. And, you know, a lot of people are thinking they should have took Dennis, what's his name again? Dennis, I forgot his name. It's not Dennis Johnson. I forgot his name.
For Utah?
No, the Dallas, the guy who they passed on, who was a scorer.
I'm going blank also.
Yeah, but Nil Aquino has a chance to prove himself, and you know there's no pressure on this team this year because Porzingis is out. He's not expected to come back until like around the All-Star break in February, and that's if we're lucky.
Right.
You know, as we speak, Fizdale should be visiting Porzingis very soon so they can work on that chemistry that, you know, a head coach and a star player, you know, should have. You know, obviously from Fizdale learning from his, his failed relationship with Marc Gasol. So I think – you know, I think they'll play beautiful music together once they get that chemistry going.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so indeed. So we'll see what happens. But switching gears. Let's talk the Mets here. The Mets, they lost 3-0 tonight, or should I say this afternoon. Steven Matz, who's been rumored to be in trade rumors, along with all the other pitchers, the top pitchers, Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Wheeler. You know, he pitched a good game, but unfortunately, he was the loser. He lost the game. So, you know, the Mets, you know, after going on a two-game winning streak prior to today, they fall again. You know, obviously it's a lost season, but Friday night, Bautista did something he's never done in the major leagues, and that was not only did he hit a walk-off home run, which he's never done before prior to Friday night. But he hit a walk-off grand slam with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. So that looks like that might be one of the few bright spots that this team, you know, has had that's going to have this season. And as we all know, Jacob DeGrom, he pitched a brilliant game. He went eight innings, but, you know, he got the no decision. And basically, DeGrom, he's having a marvelous year. He, you know, he should be a Cy Young winner, you know, the Cy Young winner based on his ERA, but the, you know, the Mets, you know, they don't provide any offense for him. So, you know, his win-loss record is very deceiving. You know, it's even worse than Felix Hernandez's record that he had when he won the Cy Young several years ago. I think, if my memory serves me right, I think Felix Hernandez was like 14-13 or 13-13 that Cy Young year. You know, I think DeGrom is equally deserving, but, you know, the Mets aren't helping him.
No, they're not.
So we'll see what happens. And John Rico recently, you know, announced that unless if the Mets get overwhelmed by an awesome deal, Syndergaard and DeGrom are not going to get traded, which I think that's a great idea. You know, I don't think those two should be traded. I think you should build around those guys. I mean, I love Mats. I would love to see Mats stay. Wheeler, I'd like to see him stay as well, but I think this is the best you're going to get out of Wheeler. So if you ask me out of between Mats or Wheeler who they should trade, I think they should trade Wheeler, you know. But, you know, if they get a great deal for both guys and it instantly improves the team, which I doubt the Mets would get a deal like that, then unfortunately you're going to have to part with them. You have to get some. You have to give something to get something. So, you know, that's the horrible state of the Mets right now for the Cavaliers.
I mean, right now DeGrom's value is very high. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you could get a lot of prospects and players for him, you know, and then start rebuilding, you know, around those players. But right now it doesn't look like the Mets want to trade DeGrom or Syndergaard, which I think is wrong, you know, because, you know, you got to trade a player when his value is high, especially when the team right now is not very good. So, but I don't know. I don't know what the Mets are doing, man. If Mets won't trade either one of them, they might regret this, you know, a few years or 5 years from now.
I think you make a valid point because, you know, Father Time does affect everybody, and not to mention all these pitchers have had Tommy John surgeries and thoracic outlet surgeries with the case of Harvey, and Harvey also did have a Tommy John surgery. I've heard he's pitched well his last three starts, you know, and he's rumored to be traded to the Nationals. You know, who knows? Maybe the Yankees might even go after him, as I've been saying for the past couple of years prior to this year. So
who? Which one?
Harvey. You never know if he can continue to bounce.
Oh no, that ship has sailed a long time ago.
You never know if he keeps this up.
No, he's horrible. Harvey can't pitch anymore. I agree.
I saw him with my own two eyes. You know, he's been horrible. I mean, the change of scenery these past three starts, you know, showing he's starting to turn it around. But obviously, it's a small sample.
Yeah.
But it looks like Nationals are gonna go after him. You know, because, you know, they want to stick it to the Mets. They already have Daniel Murphy, so why not have another Met that took the Mets to the 2015 and knocked them off the NL East title spot. So I definitely see that happening, you know, so that's something to keep an eye out for. And then you got the Yankees interested in Jay Happ, you know, Cole Hamels, Michael Fulmer, who I definitely think is going to be a Yankee, you know, I think that's a done deal. But in my opinion, who do you think the Yankees are going to go after?
Well, I mean, I hear right now, it's Jay Happ is like the guy, the top guy that they're looking into, you know. But a lot of these pitchers, you know, these teams are asking for the top prospects. And I prefer J-Hab because out of all those pitchers, well, I mean, aside from DeGrom or Bumgarner, which would be the top two choices, but it doesn't look like those two guys are going anywhere. But after that, it'd be J-Hab. And today was J-Hab's audition, but he didn't fare too well against our lineup. You know, he walked like six and gave up like four or five earned runs. So it wasn't a good day for him against us, but, you know, he's very good against the Red Sox, and he's a good postseason pitcher. So I would love to see him on the Yankees, but it might cost us, you know, some prospects to get him. So, you know, we'll have to see who the Yankees go after.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Yankees, you know, they're clearly the best team in the league. I mean, obviously Astros, you gotta tip your hat to Astros because Astros is the defending champion. And until Red Sox is a very good team, but I don't see them topping the Yankees this year. I just feel like the Yankees, you know, they're a better team than the Red Sox. I mean, Red Sox is close to the Yankees, you know, but I think Yankees will pull it through. We'll pull through and win that division, hands down.
Well, the Yankees still need a starting pitcher. And, you know, right now we do have some injuries. Right now we have Gleyber on a DL. He'll probably be back, you know, after the All-Star break. And
you can't
Sanchez
trust any.
Well.
You can't trust any Gray. He's like your guy's version of Jason Vargas.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, he's they might designate him for assignment or try to trade him maybe, but yeah, he's been very inconsistent. That's why we need another starter,
and
you
guys
maybe a number two or three starter.
I'd be shocked if you guys don't address this starting pitching, you know, dilemma that you guys have, you know, before the training deadline or even after the training deadline, you get somebody on the cheap, you know, pass through the waivers, but. I definitely see you guys going to get somebody, you know, before this month is over. So if I was a Yankee fan, I wouldn't be worried. But we'll see what happens soon enough.
Yeah.
Let me see. Oh, yeah. Did you hear about Sam Darnold, the Jets quarterback? He was mentioning some stuff, you know, him, you know, getting acclimated to New York City. And he said some interesting stuff. One of them was he's rooting for the Mets, you know, because he's a National League guy. You know, he rooted for the Dodgers. But now, you know, since he's in New York, Mets is his default team. And another thing he mentioned on a lighter note, he said that he tried New York pizza, but he hasn't tried New York bagel. So my question to you, since, you know, like you know, we're both born and bred in New York. If you had a choice between, you know, eating a New York bagel or a New York pizza, which one would you choose?
Oh, I mean, New York pizza by far, you know, especially dollar pizzas, you know, which I think in this New York City is the best pizza that you can get, especially if you're trying to save money. I go with pizza by far, although there are some really good bagel places where you can get really good bagels. There was one near my job where you can go and buy, like, these special bagels, and they're really good. But nothing beats New York pizza by far.
I'm with you, man. We're in agreement, other than the Yankees and you know, the Giants. We're in agreement with when it comes to these kind of stuff, man. So, yeah, I definitely agree. Pizza, they're both good. You can't go wrong with a New York bagel, but hands down, I mean, come on. If you live in New York, you gotta try New York pizza. That's your rite of passage.
Good.
You wanna live in New York?
Yeah. Do not that franchise pizza like Domino's or Papa John's. I'm talking about dollar pizza from the small pizza shops.
Yeah, made in New York, you know.
Exactly.
Any of the boroughs are fine. Brooklyn, Staten Island,
yep.
Queens, Manhattan. Did I mention all the cities? I feel like I'm missing one.
Yeah, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Staten Island,
Queens,
Bronx.
Yeah, so, yeah. Any of those places you get a pizza, you'll be fine. So, you know, But local hockey news. John Tavares, he was the star player of the Islanders. He signed with his hometown team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And basically the Islanders wanted to re-sign him, but he had to live out his dream. So, best of luck to John Tavares.
Best of luck to him. That's a big loss.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. They recently signed Lou Lamoriello, obviously the legendary GM for the Devils during the, 90s and early 2000s. So, now they got to go to the drawing board and, try to get somebody to replace them. So, yeah, we'll see what happened with that.
Yeah.
But moving on to WWE, I think the most interesting thing going on Raw is the feud between Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley. And it's official that both men are gonna face off at Extreme Rules. As of right now, it looks like the stipulation of them being the number one contender for Brock Lesnar's Universal title, it looks like they took that stipulation out of it. Because there's rumors that Brock Lesnar might not ever come back, even though he's the champion, and go to UFC. So that's the rumor. But if that does happen, I'm hoping, Bobby Lashley will get the best of Roman Reigns and hopefully face Brock Lesnar finally.
Yeah, let's hope that happens. We can finally get that Lesnar versus Lashley matchup. But I mean, that's dumb. They should have kept that stipulation because I don't see Brock going anywhere, man. He's still on the contract. Didn't he just sign a contract after WrestleMania?
But the rumors is that, he has a weird contract that apparently he has maybe one or two more appearances left or something like that. Some weird, because he's getting a boatload of money, to sit out.
Yeah.
But WWE foolishly gave him a stipulation where he could just choose when he want to come. And he was rumored to be at SummerSlam, but as of right now, it looks like he might not be there. But I mean, we'll find out next month if he'll be there.
I don't understand why WWE babysits this guy. Does he really make them that much money for their events? I mean, I doubt he makes that much money for the events. I doubt that he's even like the reason WWE makes money.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a problem with Brock Lesnar, being WWE, hey, more power to him if he can make that much money. But, man, he's holding the title for hostage, man. That's why his title reign is so tainted. And, it's a fact of the matter. If, he popped up a little bit more, or at least for a month for his pay-per-view event or the week of the pay-per-view event or so, I mean, you could kind of live with it a little bit, but it's like, he's holding the title for hostage, and he's a legit fighter. Like that's why when he fights, you could seriously believe that he could beat anybody. And it's real life, he could really legit beat people up. It's the truth. He's a UFC fighter. He's a former UFC champion. He won the NCAA tournament. What I'm saying? Like he's won everywhere he went. When it comes to wrestling. So I just, it just doesn't make any sense for me. I mean, that's where Roman Reigns wins the argument. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to be there a little bit more. Especially if he's holding the title. Like,
yeah.
He can't be gone for like more than, like, he can't be gone like 3 or 4 months in a row. Like, last year he was gone after WrestleMania and he didn't come back until like the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view event in like July, which is this month, like 1 year ago from today. I mean, one year ago from, this month. So, I mean, it looks similar what was going on. It might be even longer because he's most likely not going to be at Extreme Rules, and he might not be in SummerSlam, as weird as that sounds. And that's why the Universal title has no prestige. Nobody has had a rematch. Everybody who's lost a title, whether it's through injuries with Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Goldberg, you know, all these guys who's lost the title, they've never had a rematch. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's crazy. The Universal title is a joke title. I mean, it's not because of Brock Lesnar, but it's because of the booking, the bad booking of WWE. You know, this is a new title that's supposed to have prestige, and it's rarely defended, and people don't get rematches.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Some other guys need to have a shot at it. I mean, you know, so just have one guy hold it and not defend it for months.
Absolutely. When you think about it, we only really have one title, and that's the WWE title.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping Styles could win it. I mean, not Styles. I'm hoping Rusev could win the title. But knowing WWE booking, the titles are going to stay on everybody. And they're going to just stretch it out until SummerSlam.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happened with that. Also on Raw, you had, Sasha and Bayley, you know, doing the I forgot how you call it, you know, the training, the what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like you know, they're trying to work out their feeling. You know, they're going to the therapist, psychiatrist,
right?
Dr. Selby. For whatever reason, the word escapes my mind for whatever reason. But you know, they're trying to work out their feelings, their friendship, and all that stuff. But you know, the segment wasn't, I mean, it wasn't that good. You know, WWE, you know, it wasn't as natural as Daniel Bryan and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they were doing it, you know, which obviously now they're back, now they're reformed, and they're gonna battle the Bludgeon Brothers for the tag team title. So, you know, it's not the same because, you know, the only interesting thing was when they were doing the role-playing thing, you know, but the whole segments were, you know, kind of cringeworthy a bit.
It was, very.
And that's what you could say about all these WWE promos for the past couple of years, like the Bobby Lashley sister segment, the Bobby Lashley talking about his sister segment prior to that, the Alexa Bliss segment with Bayley, like from last year. It's like WWE, man, they just don't know how to do comedy.
Something that they need to improve on, definitely.
Yeah, it's like they have the Last Jedi-itis, man. It's like they have talent, but they don't know how to use the talent. And then they have comedy, and it's just a joke. You know, you have a product that was good in the 80s. And in the 90s, early 2000s as well, and they don't know how to use it right. Sounds pretty much like Star Wars nowadays, but
yeah.
I digress. But let me see what else happened on the other. Anything else? Oh yeah, Kevin Owens got a bunch of blue stuff, which it should have been brown because he was in a porta potty, you know. Because Braun Strowman destroyed Kevin Owens while he was inside the porta potty outside when Kevin Owens was trying to hide from him, and when the porta potty got smashed with him, you know, Kevin Owens was rescued from, you know, by the referees and medical assist, you know, the medical team. But when he came out, instead of being brown since he was in the toilet, you know, It came out blue. I mean, unless they're trying to say it's the toilet, you know, like the cleansing thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the,
I know,
tidy blue kind of thing. But to me, it would have been more comical if, you know, if it was brown. The stuff was brown on him. So I'm like, why is it blue? It don't make no sense. But other than that, I'm trying to think what happened on SmackDown. AJ Styles attacked. AJ Styles got attacked by Rusev after, you know, the phenomenal one defeated Aiden Inglis as expected to set up that feud. And what else? Asuka fought against Ellsworth, but that ended in a countout because, you know, they fought out of the ring. And that match could have been a good match if WWE didn't do their typical disqualification. Like, every match has to end in disqualification. Like,
yeah.
That's why you can't get into these matches. Is there anything else major I'm missing that happened in WWE?
Let me think. Oh, the Kane and Daniel Bryan.
All right, they had their first match in what, 5 years or so?
Yeah.
So no, I mean that's major. But who did they defeat? Was it the Revival? I can't remember.
Was it Revival?
I think Revival was fighting against Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley. And I think Bobby Lashley, who won that one? That match? I forgot.
Well, then Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley walked out on him.
He walked out on him.
I guess they won. I guess the Revival won because Bobby Lashley walked out on him because Roman Reigns refused to tag him into the match. I can't remember who won the. I can't remember who Daniel Bryan and Kane beat. Just can't remember off the top of my head. Was it Uso? I think it was Uso.
Because
they were talking smack with them earlier on the show.
Oh, that's true.
Right. Because if Uso would have won, it would have turned into a triple threat match. That's what happened.
Oh.
Yeah, but Uso's lost, so it's still a 2-on-2 tag team match. The New Day got beat up by Sanity, you know, during their Pancake 4th of July eating contest. But other than that, I can't think of anything else that happened.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jeff Hardy against The Miz, which is an okay match.
Right. And whatchamacallit, Curtis Axel defeated Broken Matt Hardy again. But, the show's over. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. I want to thank you, Mac. And check out his show, iMac, coming up at midnight. Check out this show every Saturday at 11. And also check out my YouTube show. And I'm William Rameau. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.